Welcome back to Stadia Cast. I'm Bill. That's Lloyd. What's going on, Lloyd?
Not much, man. Woke up not feeling so hot, but man, Stadia is hot for everybody right now with state shares, so we got lots of stuff to talk about. That was a really bad segue, but I was trying, and you know, I get an E for effort on that one.
Well, as a teacher, I get to decide the grade, and we'll see what happens. No extra credit for you. How about you do all the regular credit? Okay. So what I will say is, segueing at the very beginning of the show never really makes sense, because we always have to take a minute and tell everybody that we record this show live over on our YouTube channel, which you can easily find at nerdnest.tv. If you are here with us live and you want to get our attention, then you can use that super chat feature. We will reply to each and every super chat near the end of the show. If you are also interested in supporting the show, you can click on the join button right down below. And if you are watching this after the live show is over, there is an applause button that you can click as well to support the show. Each week, we start off with what have we been playing. I think that Lloyd and I probably have been playing the same thing. So, Lloyd, what have you been playing, sir?
I've been playing a lot. I had a little bit of free time. I took a couple days off work this week, and I had some other things going on during that time. But I did play some games. I completed Watch Dogs Legion, which was the first of the Ubisoft open world games. I had two missions to do when I took a break from that and went into Valhalla. There's a bunch of cleanup that I have to do. But I completed the main story for Watch Dogs Legion, and it's fantastic. Really big fan of that game. I can't wait to get into some of the extra stuff when they patch in the multiplayer, when they patch in the expansion content and all that stuff. It's really good. Besides that, I did a first look for RE and the Secret of Seasons, a super charming game that I didn't really know what to expect. I've been watching it for a number of months as we were making when it was getting close to launch, because it was supposed to launch on a bunch of different platforms, or did launch on a bunch of different platforms. And playing it on Stadia was absolutely wonderful. It was a lot of fun. But then the big game that both Bill and I have been playing, and I'm sure we're going to talk a lot about, is Hitman 3. I have a long past with Hitman. Played a bunch of the games, all with varying levels of like. Usually it's towards the other end of the spectrum. And I was chatting with Bill a couple days ago. I can't remember exactly when. And I think I understand what my issue with Hitman was. It was, I was trying to be perfect. I was trying to do everything perfect. But then after I completed the first level in Hitman 3, I was looking through the achievements, and it is in fact impossible to get all of the achievements on, or all of the missions completed in one playthrough of the level, which I haven't even thought about that before. I was just like, I have to kill both people and I have to do it perfectly and I can't be seen. Well, no, there's like 1,001 different things to do, so you can play and screw up, and that is okay. And once my brain got into that headspace, I absolutely loved my playthrough of Hitman 3. I'm going through the second level right now. I replayed a bunch of the first level a bunch of times doing different things. What an amazing game. I really wish I would have given Hitman 1 and 2 a little bit more time of day when they first came out. But the good thing now is on Stadia, we got Hitman 1 and Hitman 2 for free with Pro if you have a Pro subscription. Hitman 3 is out, so I can essentially play all three games in one launcher, which is amazing. But even better than that, I can play the first mission with stuff that I've unlocked in the Hitman 3. And I can bring all these things that I've unlocked to different parts of the game to play out different scenarios. I get it now, and I didn't for a while, so I'm pretty happy that I spent some time with Hitman 3.
Yeah, I've also been playing Hitman 3. I didn't get nearly as much time to play this week as I was hoping, because we've got like some home ownership nonsense to deal with, which is never fun. But the time that I did get to sit down and play games, I played a little bit more Valkyria Chronicles 4, but once I got my hands on Hitman, I was very, very, very impressed. I was kind of ignoring Hitman 3 up until, I would say, 2 days ago. I was like, well, I haven't played the first two. Maybe there's an overarching story that I need to play. After playing like three or four levels of Hitman 1, I was like, you know, I don't care if there's an overarching story. This is a modular puzzle game. And I feel like, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like for the most part, it doesn't really matter which order that I do things in. So I was like, all right, well, we have a way for people to share their state shares with us. And we'll talk about that in more detail in a little bit.
Sure.
And so I went in and I found a state share that somebody had shared with us. And I sat down yesterday and I played it. And I think it's the Dubai level in Hitman 3. I could be wrong, but mm-hmm. I loaded up their state share, which is really cool because it, like, I clicked on their link and it opened up a screenshot. And then I just click on the little button on the screenshot and I started playing. That game is just so cool. And the thing about Hitman that impresses me so much is how many different ways that you can accomplish your task. There were a couple of times where I was like trying to come up with a plan for how to do something. And then luck would be on my side. And I would happen to be in the right place at the right time. And I see the person and I'm like, oh, my God. I've got a chance to actually do this now instead of the ridiculous set of sequences that my brain was trying to piece together. And then I did it, and it's just so satisfying. It's a very satisfying game. And the fact that you can go back in, like you were saying, and do it differently the next time and do it a different way the time after that, and just keep going into the same level and really start to learn the map, where things can be found. You can smuggle items in if you want. Doing all of that stuff makes this game incredibly replayable, and I'm very, very interested in seeing all of the cool state share things that people are able to send our way with the state share feature on Stadia. So have you had a chance to do any state share stuff yet?
Yeah. Before we get, I want to talk about one little thing that I in the Dubai level, I had no idea what was going on. And so I was looking into who I had to assassinate. I didn't understand how the map worked. There's all these icons and I'm just like, I just want to get into the game. So I'm like walking through, I'm taking people out, I'm changing clothes, doing all that fun stuff that you have to do to get further in the level. And I essentially walked into one of the marks that you had to take out, the guy that is supposed to be at the art installation. I literally came around a corner and I was face to face with him. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's the guy I have to kill. I remember seeing his face on a screenshot. So I backed up. Everyone's kind of like, hey, what are you doing? So I kind of walked around the corner. And I threw a banana because there is a banana in the game, and a guard slipped on a banana. One of the guys that was guarding the guy that you had to kill, and he kind of like slipped and fell down, and everyone's looking at him. And I basically just came right behind the guy and I just garroted him and ended that murder and then ran away. And I'm like, okay, this didn't happen at all in my first play. When I did the first look, I didn't even see that guy. I had no idea where he was. But it just happened in the right place at the right time, ran right into him. And then only thing I had in my hand was a banana because I was carrying it around because I thought it was funny. And I actually did something with the banana. And I'm like, okay, this game is fantastic. I can't wait to get further into it.
I had a similar experience. I also found multiple bananas on that level, which is hilarious. But excuse me. I was walking through a room and I was like, okay, I want this disguise. So what I'm going to do is, as I walked through the room, I saw that there was a custodian mopping, and there's a big puddle of water on the floor, and they had one of those little triangular yellow you know, don't be careful here. And so I was like, okay, here's what I'm going to do. It's amazing that you can think like this. I'm going to take that sign. So I walked over, I grabbed the sign, and I walked into the next room, and then I turned on a faucet in the next room in order to have the water, like, overflowing, because if you overflow a sink, somebody will come, if they're close enough to hear the water, they'll come and check it out. And so there was a guard, and I don't think that this is in the video that I'm going to post at the end of our stream today. I think I edited it out, but there was a guard and this the custodian in the room, and so I turned on the water and then I hid in one of the there's so many boxes where people can hide, or you can hide people in these levels, and I hid in one of those boxes, and sure enough, no, I didn't hide in the box. I turned on the water and I just kind of hit around the corner and he goes, I'll check this out. And he starts coming towards me, steps on the water. He slips, he lands, knocks him. He's completely knocked out. And of course the AI is like, I'm going to keep mopping. Cause the AI is a little doofy in this.
A little bit,
but that's okay. There's part of the charm there. So they just keep mopping, and I walk over, and I grab the guy, and I pull him, and I throw him in the box, and I change into the guard's outfit, and I pick up his gun, throw it on my back, and now I can continue with the nonsense that I'm doing. The game is really good, and the different ways that you can solve problems, is fantastic. Like there was another moment where I hit a breaker, and then I hit around a corner. The guard in the security room comes out of that room, walks around the door to get to the breaker, and I walk right into the room that he was just in, and then hide in a cupboard, wait for him to come in and sit down with his back to me, and then I get out and I take him out. And it's just like they completely, like, each room and area is very well designed. The world design is very well done in such a way that it allows you to have these really cool moments. And that's the thing that I feel like I love most about Hitman 3.
It reminds me a little bit of like Demon's Souls, Dark Souls, Bloodborne, where you get to certain parts of the level and you can actually unlock permanent shortcuts. So there's ladders that you can kick, which will give you shortcuts to get to like the roof or different sections. And I didn't get that at the start. Like when I first played, like, cause I played a bunch of the Hitman games either with like PlayStation Plus or other things. And I'd never really played around with them. I tried to perfect the level, didn't, and said, this is dumb, and went on to another game because there's always other games to play. But it just, as you're saying, like you remove a sign and someone falls and breaks their neck, and it's just like, okay, that's weird. There's poison. You can poison drinks and hope that the poison gets to the right person. But if it doesn't, it creates a stir, and then you can get out of the way or sneak through that area or whatever. There's going to be, for me, there's going to be a lot of replaying Hitman 1, 2, and 3 now to complete all the levels and get all the items that you unlock by doing that. Because I know when we're going to get into State Share right away, State Share offers a really interesting way to replay games like this. And this is a very good example of State Share, how they're doing it in this game. And it's making my mind explode with ideas for future games, just because how cool IO Interactive did with Hitman.
Yeah, so I guess we'll take a minute right now and explain exactly what State Share is. If you take your Stadia controller or your keyboard, F12 button on your keyboard, on your Stadia controller, there's a capture button where you can hit a button, take a screenshot, hold down that button. You will take a little 30-second clip, which then you can look at later, which is cool. If you're playing a game that has State Share enabled and you are in, like, you're in the part of the game that allows you to do this, when you take that screenshot or that little 30-second clip, it will also attach like a little link to it. And then if you share that screenshot or clip with somebody else, the other people can then click a button and play the State Share that you have created. So you can go into Hitman 1, 2, or 3, because all three of them support this now, because they're all part of the same game, essentially. And you can say, all right, I'm going to smuggle in this item into this place. These are the disguise that you start with, and this is the other thing that you can do. I'm going to put all of those things in place, and then I'm going to do my state share, and then you can share that link with somebody. And if I click on that link, I jump right in, and I'm experiencing the game that you kind of set up. Now, yeah. IO Interactive said that people were doing this on their own with in Discord. They were basically saying, all right, in Discord, I'm going to, like, this is the rules. Go do it. So now they've kind of just turned that into a button instead of rules, which is awesome and really, really fantastic.
It's really cool. Like, I created a state share in a bad part of the level because I just hit screenshot and I'm like, oh, there it is. I wanted to see how that whole thing worked. And I shared it and a couple people played it. I wish there was a, you could see a counter of the number of people that have joined through your screenshot. That would be really cool. But then I was looking around for other state shares because it was still really, really early in what, after the game was released. And I can't remember which website, but they posted a review of the game. But they, a part of the review, it's like, and state share works really well as part of their lead or whatever. So I clicked on that link, and right at the top, there was a link to a screenshot where you start in the Dubai level. You're wearing a server outfit and you're in a staff room, and there's like this staff briefing that's going on.
It doesn't and start you at the beginning?
Doesn't start you right at the beginning. Well, it starts you at the beginning of the game, but in a different part of the level, I guess. So it's still the start. Nothing's happened, but you're in a different area. So I'm sitting there in a briefing room and I'm like, okay, this is cool. I get up and then immediately everybody looks at me and they're all suspicious because I got up in the middle of a staff briefing and and then I got killed. And I'm like, okay, I need to sit there. So I sat there and I waited for like 5 minutes as she's going through all the briefing. She's talking about codes for different doors, about the way certain people want to have their food this way, all this sort of stuff. And I'm like, oh my God. You would never have seen this content unless you happened into that room at the right time, or you click this screenshot to make to play the state share that this person absolutely set up the perfect way, because you're starting with this weapon, this hidden weapon, this thing, that thing in a special area with a special briefing. And it made me think about the websites that are going to pop up. It's like, if you want to get this achievement, click on this state share. If you want to get this item, click on this state share. So there's going to be multiple ways to use state share, whether it's whether it's just to beat the levels for fun, or whether it's to unlock things that then you can then use in other levels after the fact. Just really blown away. I am really, really blown away with state share and how seamless it works. It's going to be really fun to play through other people's state shares with different items, different goals. Well, I guess the goals are the same. You have to murder the same two people, but goals, because you're in a different part of the complex. Say this is the Dubai level, for example. You're in a different part of the complex, so you're gonna have to do a bunch of stuff to get up to the top. But you're also in the wrong clothes. So if you walk out of this room, people are going to be suspicious of you. So you have to create a distraction or do this or do that. It's going to be a lot of fun playing everybody's stage shares. So yeah, we have that link, nerdnest.tv/stageshare. Link us to your screenshots with weird things going on, and we'd love to play them and make videos of it. Because I think stage share is going to be huge. And again, this is really something that only Stadia can do right now. I'm sure in the future, other platform holders, Xbox, PlayStation, they could have a screenshot tied to a specific game state. But they're going to have to engineer that whole solution where it's here and it's working, and it's been working on Stadia for 6 months in some form. But now this is the first real example of it working well. And I just can't wait for the big brains in various game studios to have these just inventive, ingenious ideas that no one ever thought of to bundle state share into the games that they produce.
Yeah. So yesterday I sat down and I played through a state share And I recorded it and I edited out some of the stuff just so that it, because it was, it takes me forever to play a level of Hitman 3, like over an hour. And so I edited it down and everything and I posted it, and I'm going to, I'll premiere it right after we're done with this episode so that you guys can watch it. It's awesome. I love State Share and I can't wait to see what happens with other games, but Hitman has completely impressed me, both in terms of the really great gameplay and how State Share works. It's so impressive to me. And the idea that you were talking about, where you could get this achievement, like you can cheese through it, through achievements by following somebody else's State Share things. Some people might be like, I'm a purist, that's against the rules or something. I don't care. I think that that's cool. I won't do it because I don't care about achievements. But I think that that's a really inventive way. And that's the thing. Whenever somebody comes up with this new cool thing, it's always interesting to see how other people find a way to use it. And State Share is, as a content creator, I think is one of the best features of Google Stadia, because it allows, I could create state shares for you all to play, and you guys can create state shares for us to play. And then we can turn around and turn those into videos that you guys can watch. And that's what's going to happen right after the show today. But I'm very impressed with State Share and with Hitman 3. I've had a lot of fun with it, and I'm looking forward to playing a whole bunch more.
Exactly. Everything that you said, I just can't wait. I can't wait for another developer to use State Share. I know Crate is using it just to get people to jump into a level, which is a good use of it. And then we have Hitman now. So IO did whatever they had to do to get this working in whatever ingenious way they invented. I just can't wait for the next game to come out that supports it, because it's going to be a completely different, potentially, it's going to be a completely different implementation. And it's really going to kind of blow people's brains up. It's like, oh my God, so this is different from that one? That doesn't make sense. Oh, I thought they're the same thing. And then people are going to look into it. And again, this is an experience that we can only have here on Stadia right now. So we need to enjoy it. We need to talk about it. We need to promote it, because this is going to get people excited about playing games on this platform.
Absolutely. All right. This isn't in the show notes, but it is something that I wanted to talk about briefly. And the reason I didn't add it to the show notes is because I was kind of back and forth about whether or not I wanted to discuss it, because it's discussing the absence of something. So Capcom recently did a bunch of announcements, and they were announcing like the release date for Resident Evil 8? Is it 8? The Village one?
Village, which is V-I-L-L. So
okay, yeah,
just
so
like
8. Yeah, so Resident Evil 8, and they didn't mention Stadia. And of course, there's a bunch of people who see that, and they're like, so it's not coming to Stadia. I mean, we don't know if it's coming to Stadia, but I suspect it still is, and just they're not ready to talk about it yet. We saw Phil Harrison in his giant white room having all of those logos floating around his head, and one of those logos floating around his head was the Capcom logo. And so we know that Capcom at some point was working with Google Stadia. And then after that, I had spoken to John Justice, and one of the questions that I asked him was specifically about EA. I said, well, you know, you guys had the EA stuff floating around his head, but we don't have an EA game yet. And John Justice was like, well, everybody that we have said is working with us is still working with us, and they will announce things when they are ready to announce them. And I said, okay, that's fine. And I think that's probably what's happening here, is a lot of people are like, oh no, Capcom is no longer working with Stadia because they didn't mention Stadia. And I just don't think that's true. Maybe we'll get Resident Evil 8. Maybe we won't. But Capcom is still working with Stadia. I'm 98% sure of it. What do you think about this, Lloyd?
Yeah, 100%. We saw the leak. We saw, if you chose to read it, you saw the financial disclosure documents that were leaked out. We know that Google has been working with Capcom. We know that there's been money paid to secure a port of Resident Evil 7 and working on Resident Evil 8. Whether those games are still coming, who knows? Because games sometimes get right to the point of release and then they get canceled for whatever reason. I still anticipate that we're going to get some Resident Evil content that isn't just a tie-in with another game. Yeah. But I just because we didn't get the announcement on the announcement day for Village for release date and other stuff doesn't mean it's not coming. But it isn't looking good. I don't think we're going to get 8 on release day
here on Stadia.
Which is disappointing. I played 7 in flat mode and in VR mode. And let me tell you, Resident Evil 7 in VR was the single scariest thing that I have ever experienced in my entire life. That game is creepy. And being locked in a VR headset was not something that I should have done because I don't generally like spooky games, as people know if you've been listening to the podcast for a while. But I would love to play it again on Stadia because it was a fun experience. That adrenaline rush running away from people that look like they're about to kill you was really well done in 7. So 8 just looks like it's taken that and crank it up to 11. So I really want to play that as well.
Yeah, and you know what? I've played. I'm not huge into the Resident Evil series because they're so gross. Like, and I don't like gross. I like scary. I'm not a fan of gross. And I played the remake of Resident Evil 2, and I really enjoyed it. They are objectively good games if you can get past the ick factor. So I'm all for these games coming to Stadia because they're obviously really good games, and I want people to be able to I want more people to be able to have the ability to play these games right now, unless you have a multi-$100 box under your TV, you're not going to be able to play these games. So I think that it's would be fantastic for it to come to Stadia, and I think it still will. I do think that the Resident Evil 7 game will come. I almost 100% guarantee that Resident Evil 2, 3, and probably even 4 remakes will also come to Stadia, as well as every other platform. Because Capcom, they always seem to be like the platform agnostic. Like, they don't care. They're just like, we're going to put out our games and people are going to buy our games. And we don't care what platform they're on. That's why they're a super successful company. I'm looking forward to more Capcom stuff.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, what I was really hoping for is that Monster Hunter Rise, which is right now a Nintendo Switch exclusive. I was hoping that would also come to other platforms. I was hoping it would be on PlayStation and Xbox and Stadia and PC and all this stuff instead of just being on Nintendo Switch. Not that I don't want to play it on Nintendo Switch, but I want everybody, it's always the same thing for me. I want people to be able to play the games on the platforms that they choose to play on. And I was hoping for that. So we didn't get that. We also didn't get any announcement about like a port of Monster Hunter World to Stadia, because that again is a really, really good game that would be awesome on Stadia. It's like an always online kind of game anyway. So it makes perfect sense to be on Google Stadia. You don't have to play it online, but there's a lot of online components to it. So that's the thing. Just because there's a phrase that we often say in science is that absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. So just because they didn't tell us that these games that we're all talking about are coming to Stadia doesn't mean that they're not coming to Stadia. So yeah. I think that eventually they will. Now, speaking of Resident Evil, since you brought it up, let me make sure I mute those tracks. We've got this weird crossover that you alluded to a second ago. You want to tell people about that?
Yeah, so Resident Evil is coming to Stadia, but part of the Division 2. So Capcom is working with Ubisoft to bring Resident Evil content to all platforms, not just Stadia. Which is this really weird synergistic little thing. And I think it shows a little bit more about what Ubisoft is planning to do, because we've seen with Immortals Fenyx Rising, there's been two content merging things that have happened. We've seen Adventure Time. You can get the Adventure Time skins for your Immortals Fenyx Rising characters. And then we got a tie-in with a new Netflix series, which is happening right now, where you can get, there's a DLC stuff available, but then there's also stuff you can get for free. And it looks like now they're doing that with Capcom stuff. So I don't know, is Ubisoft becoming the next like Nintendo Smash Brothers type thing with content from all sorts of areas? It is really weird to see Ubi working with other publishers, other game IP. But I'm here for it. And bringing more content to Division 2, which is a fantastic experience across all the different platforms it's on, but particularly on Stadia, Division 2 just performs so well. Getting some Chris and Jill outfits for your characters in the Division is kind of a nice little tie-in.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed. It seems like it's just like outfits, and it's not like you know, zombies. You know, because I think that would have been really fun, like a fun.
Would have been a
thing.
Fun mode.
What's that?
A fun mode, kind of like Call of Duty Zombies or whatever. Have like have an additional like zombie mode where the what is it? The Black Zone, is that what it's called? The Dark Zone.
Yeah,
is,
I think Dark Zone.
Is overrun with zombies. So as you're waiting for your exfiltration to get out of there, you're just being just assaulted by waves and waves of zombies. Like that would be a fun little change to the world. But the clothes look really good. And part of Division 2, there's a large core of the game that just wants to look cool.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They get all the cool,
absolutely.
They get all the cool equipment. So this is going to give them some more cool clothes to put on.
It is. And look, I'm not like against it. I'm just, it's a little disappointing that it's just like costumes from like Raccoon City, right, or whatever the name of the town is where Resident Evil happens. Anyway, let's move on. And just a reminder, we spent a bunch of the show talking about a feature of Stadia with State Share. Division 2 also has a different feature with a Stadia feature with Stream Connect, where you can see other people's screens while you're playing, which is really cool. All right, let's take a look at the games that are the upcoming games, the games that are on their way to Google Stadia. Coming soon. We've got January 28th. We've got Tohu, which looks like a weird little side-scrolly puzzle game featuring some almost like hand-drawn art and stuff like that. That's coming on January 28th. And then January 29th, and this is the one that I'm a little more interested in, is Gods Will Fall. That looks like a isometric perspective, Souls style game.
Yeah,
that one looks really interesting to me. And then here's one that kind of came out of nowhere. They talked about it on the This Week in Stadia. Pikuniku.
What a fun game Pikuniku is.
Oh, tell people about it, because I know nothing about this game.
So you're an orb with legs. You're a football with legs. That's kind of what your character looks like. And you control the game. You control the different feats. You have to basically go through these puzzle levels and make your way through the end, collecting coins and other things, meeting friends. It's a really fun game. I played it on Nintendo Switch when it first came out, and it is coming very soon on Stadia as well. A very, very fun title.
So like, is it a puzzle game? Is it
It's like an action adventure puzzler kind of thing. It's fully 2D side scrolling, with levels. If you've ever played like a Loco Roco kind of game, it's very much kind of like a Loco Roco, where it's like physics and bad control for your character, equals just fun experiences.
Oh, so it's the kind of game that I'm going to despise then.
Kind of, but I don't think it's not like an Octodad bad at control. It's just you're controlling the different parts of the body to do different things.
Okay. I despise games that do that kind of control. So I'm going to say nope, no thank you. But
I think you'd like it.
I'm always happy that games are on more platforms. In addition to that, we also have the This Week in Stadia blog post that they have over at community.stadia.com. There wasn't a whole bunch of new information. They did talk a little bit about Hitman. They talked about Pikuniku. They also, and this is on Sunday, so you're running out of time at this point. And it says that they say, if you've got Stadia Pro, we've got a treat for you. Play both WWE 2K Battlegrounds and Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Breakpoint for free from Thursday to Monday. So if you're watching this now live, then you have the rest of the day to play those two games. You played both of these games, right?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on 2K Battlegrounds?
It's fun. It's arcadey wrestling. I don't like the monetization that they do in the game. So to get any new characters that aren't included with the base game or the odd character that they throw in when they expand the roster, you're basically grinding the weekly challenges or the daily challenges for like a week to earn enough coins to buy your, Ted DiBiase or one of your characters like Xavier Woods from New Day or whatever. So old characters, new characters, whatever. But then there's also other clothing options for these characters. So if you want to be Stone Cold in his leather thing with Austin 316 on the back, you have to buy that separately from him with long hair when he was the I can't remember the name of his character back when he first started in the WWE. But then there's like old man, like kind of him now type thing. So you're grinding a lot to get these characters, or you could just buy coins and then use those premium coins to get your characters right away. So the game itself is fun, but earning and getting other characters that I want to play with my daughter or whatever, it's a bit of a grind. So yeah, there's some issues there. And I know multiplayer and stuff can also be an issue with that game.
Yeah, and I played, I bought Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Breakpoint, and I promptly returned it. Not because it's a bad game, but it was because it's the kind of game that I know that I just don't enjoy. And so right. I was like, oh, okay, now that I've played it, I understand this is not the kind of game for me, and so I returned it. It is a military-style shooter. And that's really the reason that I almost never played Division 2 was because I played Ghost Recon Breakpoint. And I was like, oh, well, Division 2 is another Tom Clancy thing. That's not for me. They're very different games. So if you've played Division 2 and you're like, well, I'm not going to buy Breakpoint because it's more of the same. It's not more of the same. It's very different. It was not something that I was interested in. But, you know, if you're listening to this live, then tomorrow is your last chance to try both of these games for free. You can play them up until January 25th at 9 a.m. Pacific time. So you got a little bit of time left.
And do you know what the best thing is there, Bill?
What's that?
You don't have to download anything. You just click play and you're playing the game. You don't have to wait for 10 hours for the stupid game to download that you're going to spend 5 minutes on. You can just play it. That is one of the best parts of Stadia.
It is. And not having to manage your storage at all or ever have to think about that. It is just so, so convenient. Speaking of convenience, Stadia also is coming to LG TVs later this year. We talked about this, I think, last week, but now it's on the official blog post. They say, get ready to play Stadia games in even more places. Not only is Stadia coming to Google TV, as somebody who has two Google TVs, I'm very happy to see that. But select televisions from LG will start including built-in access to Stadia in the second half of 2021. Yeah. That the built-in aspect is very interesting to me. Now, when they say built-in, do they mean preloaded or do they mean you don't have to plug anything into it? What do you think?
I think it's just preloaded. So when you buy a TV nowadays, there's buttons on the remote that they charge money for. So Netflix and Disney pays a chunk of money to get that on all the different Roku TVs and other things. I think Stadia is going to be the same thing. It probably won't be a button on the remote, but it will be one of the apps that is there right at launch. And I wouldn't be surprised with you buy a new 4K LG TV, you set it up, Stadia's right there, you click it, it's like, hey, Stadia is a great place for all gamers, play games on all your screens. It works best with the Stadia controller. Do you want to buy one for $25? Click here or whatever. I think they're going to find a way to get cheap controllers out to people to make the experience 100%. But I'm sure you'll be able to play with other controllers through Bluetooth or something that'll be built right into the television.
Yeah, I mean, because the Google TV has Bluetooth, so I have not sideloaded Stadia onto my Google TV. I tried it on my Shield TV Pro, but I haven't tried it on my Google TV, and I'm not going to. I'm just going to leave that as factory so I don't screw anything up. But that has Bluetooth because I was able to pair like my AirPods with the TV and test that out, and that worked just fine. So I assume that I'll also be able to pair, you know, whatever controller to the system. And then that means that if you've got one of these TVs that has Stadia built in and you have an old like DualShock 4 laying around, you can probably play games on Stadia without buying anything. You just buy the game. That is always a really, really great selling point. So I think that that's
for sure
some really fantastic news as well. Yeah. And I'm glad that they posted it. And I feel like the fact that they talked about Google TV means that maybe it's happening soon. How much longer do you think?
I don't know, man. I want to say it has to be here by like March. Like, I don't think it's going to be a June thing because it can't be that hard to get it working on Chromecast with Google TV for people that already own it. But then have it have the better features coming, or not better features, the built-in support when it starts coming to LG TVs and other TVs in the future.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. We had a couple of questions that were sent in. And if you guys want to send in topics for us to talk about, you can do so. There's a link in the description down below. Our first submission came in to us from Chasen. They said, would love an interview with social media team combined. I'm sorry, could be a combined effort with subreddit and Nerdnest. So Chasen, first off, thank you very much for sending in the suggestion. We would love to interview anybody from Google. I feel like probably contractually, the people who are in charge of doing that stuff, they're probably not allowed to like come and be on our show or anything like that. I think that they reserve that stuff for like John Justice and things like that, because he is like the spokesperson essentially for Stadia. Like, he's the one that went on our show. He's the one that went on the Escapist thing. He's the one that went on, I can't remember, it was during Gamescom last year, I believe, where he went to Germany and talked about stuff there with, I believe it was IGN interviewed him. This was all before it came out. So I feel like as much as we would love that to happen, probably not going to happen. But here's our open invitation to anybody who works at Google. You're always welcome to come on the show. Anything to say there, Lloyd, before we move on?
No, just what you said. We're happy to interview anybody related with Stadia, but I know having friends in the industry for a while, I had friends that couldn't even appear on one of my podcasts talking about retro games. We weren't going to talk about whatever studio he works at or whatever game he's working on. It was just, hey, we're talking about Nintendo NES stuff. Do you want to come on? No, I can't. We have a complete media blackout. We can't go on any shows, do interviews, do anything unless it's been approved by PR. So depending on the studio that you work at or the job that you have, there's a lot of gag orders that you have because they want to keep messaging to proper channels.
That's right. All right. The next submission comes in to us from Leon Rollins. They said, have you experimented with Chrome extensions like Stadia Enhanced or Stadia Plus to augment the desktop experience yet? You absolutely should, if only to see what's possible. And so, Leon, thank you very much for sending in your suggestion to nerdnest.tv/submit. My answer is that I have not. Lloyd, have you?
Yeah, I used to use Stadia Plus fairly regularly because it was the only way that I could force 4K for my 4K LG monitor that I'm on right now. For the longest time, it would only detect 1080p or 720p. So I'd be playing a game and it would look like I'm playing through like 8 feet of water looking at a TV that far away with that much gunk in front of it. So I use Stadia Plus to force a 4K stream so the games look beautiful. And then Stadia just started detecting the resolution properly, and I didn't have to keep Stadia Plus running, so I uninstalled it. So I have used it for a while, or I did use it for a while, but I haven't used it in a while. It would be I don't know how I'm going to answer that question. Maybe I should check it out again if there's new stuff that's been added.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just not interested. I almost only play on my Chromecast. I almost never load it up in a browser. So
same.
It really doesn't matter. And honestly, I just want to sit down and play a game. I don't care about selecting my codec or doing all of that other stuff. I just want to sit down and play a game. And Stadia makes it so dead simple that I don't want to interfere with that at all, making it more complicated. But that's just me. Thank you very much for the question, though, Justin. And by the way, if there are reasons why everybody says, Bill, you got to use Stadia Plus, playing in the browsers, where it's at, let us know in the comment section down below. All right, our last submission, and then we'll get to our super chats, comes in to us from Henry Herbert. Hebert? Hopefully I didn't type that wrong. They said, hello. So I had a Stadia controller that I used for Human Fall Flat. However, because of the nature of Human Fall Flat, my L2 button broke. So I was thinking that Stadia should either release a Pro controller or even allow other manufacturers to make Chromecast Ultra compatible controllers. Thank you very much for the suggestion. Lloyd, what do you think about this? You've had a bunch of controller issues with these Stadia controllers, haven't you?
Yeah, my founder controller, my right trigger stopped working. So, I think it was the left trigger, because what would happen is I would just move my controller and I would zoom in if I was playing Borderlands, and it would just zoom in and out like super fast, and I couldn't even play the game. And I would have to actually physically hold, because how the controller has like a little tiny lip, I'd have to put my finger there and lift so that I could play the game. So I contacted support and they were really good about it. They replaced it. I got a Wasabi one. And then I started having issues with, where my right trigger wasn't working. I couldn't shoot. I couldn't do other things. And I was going through support and we're working on a bunch of videos, and then I was going to send it in. And I accidentally dropped it off my desk and it started working again. So I'm not saying drop your controller. by far, do not drop your controller. But whatever was not working, all of a sudden started working. So I thought, you know what? It's working now. I'm just going to baby the thing and not go through the whole send it in, let them replace it, figure it out, and then send it back to me. So I would say talk to support. And see if they can replace your controller that way. I would love to see Google sell the little core that goes in their controller that can be built into higher end, super expensive controllers. But I think that there might be something there that Google, maybe there's IP or something there that they don't want to give over. So I don't know how likely that is, but it would be fantastic if that could happen, because there's some really good gaming controllers that people use for like esports, and it would be cool to have something like that would just connect to your Chromecast without having to be like Bluetooth or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you look at like the Nintendo Switch, there's a ton of people that are making like different Joy-Cons that you can put on the side, or like the 8-bit do stuff, and of course you have like the Scuff?
Yeah, the Scuff.
Yeah, the those, Scuff those are controllers like the that have
$250 ones.
Yeah, they're like stupid expensive, and they have like the extra buttons for your pinky finger and your ring finger. Yeah. Like you got all of these different options out there, and it would be amazing to see what other people could do with it still being a Stadia style controller. Now, is that a possibility? I think so. I don't see why not. I'm not an engineer, but I can't imagine that what they're doing is necessarily secret. They probably just have it set up. I think that I can't figure out any good reason why they wouldn't want other people to be able to make controllers, because that just promotes their service even more. So I can't think of a good reason, but maybe you guys can.
for me, the best reason I can think of is we see, I can't recall the gentleman's name because I'm terrible with names. If you don't know that by now, you haven't been listening to me podcasts, because I can never remember names. It's the worst. It's my little shame that I have that I live with every day. But he was talking about how, yeah, we worked with a new firmware for our controller and we shaved 7 milliseconds the thing. So I'm thinking that if they take the core and they let other people use it, they're not going to have that level of control over the hardware and software working together. So maybe they're going to have to make it bulletproof as much as possible and work that way. But Coda in the chat room beat me to what I was about to say. If you buy one of those new SCUF controllers and you want to use it with Stadia, just plug it in. Plug it into the USB-C port and use tandem mode. So you can technically use any controller that you want as long as it has a way to plug it into a computer through USB. But instead of plugging into a computer, you plug it into your controller, your Stadia controller, and connect to your Chromecast that way.
And you know what? You're absolutely right. There's no good reason why you can't do that. I won't do that because I am not interested in more wires. I refused to play using my Stadia controller on my PC. Like back when it first launched, our controllers could not connect to the browser without a wire. And so because of that, I wouldn't use my Stadia controller with my browser ever. I refused because I don't like wires, and the idea of having a wire going from one controller to another controller is just straight up goofy to me. So there's no way that I would do that, but I love that they have that as an option, because of all of the options for people who are not like me, who aren't weirdos about wires. Weirdos about wires is my biography, by the way. I think that that's a great thing and a very good suggestion. I just will never, ever do it. But thank you very much for the question and for the suggestion. All right, let's move on to the Super Chats. These are the questions or comments that people sent in while we were talking throughout the show. So at the very beginning, we already said this, but thank you to Stadia Pro Gaming for their Super Chat. They said, can't wait to see Lloyd during the Stadia bash. We talked about that at the very beginning. Mark DeBeer sent in a super chat at 1178. Thank you very much for supporting at that level. He said, longtime listener, first time live, about Project Hailstorm. I'm thinking it's the rollout of state share to a lot of games currently in the library, i.e. Hail equals Frozen, like a game state. Thoughts? What do you think about that, Lloyd? That is definitely he's the only person who has suggested this. I like this idea. Yeah.
That would be interesting. I would love to see it. I've been thinking a lot about Project Hailstorm as well. And I said that it's probably just the rollout to TVs. It's the code name to getting it out there. But what if it was a way, I'm going to throw it another thing. People are going to say, yeah, I want that. And then they're going to be disappointed that it doesn't happen. but what if Project Hailstorm is a PC emulator that developers can quickly use to get their games running on Stadia? So you would load the Hailstorm virtual PC, you tie your game into it, and then you can release any new title on Stadia. But I really don't think that Google's going to want to do that, because they want the platform to be as like bare metal as possible and things like that. So yeah, I don't know, man. There's so many possibilities for this Project Hailstorm. All good code names won't tell you about the product until you know what the product is. And then you're like, oh, of course, that's what it meant. Yes, yeah. So I'm hoping that it's one of those.
Yeah, I think that I like your idea. And I, as somebody who's incredibly impressed by, I'm talking to Mark, not you, Lloyd, though your idea sounds great too, as people will probably like get a picture of my face when you said that, because I know I made a face. But I like Mark's idea a lot, only because I love state share so much, and I think that it could really do a lot for Google Stadia. So thank you very much for that suggestion. Sukotronic, Consino, Jay Dangle all sent in super chats with no comments, or probably had a dancing pair or something. So thank you very much for the support from all three of you. And Cedric Crenshaw sent in a super chat. They said, hey guys, about time to find out our February pro games. Do you have any predictions or wishes for next month? Lloyd, I'm going to let you go first because I haven't thought about pro games at all.
Sure. my prediction for the last 2 months for pro games was Piku Niku. And now we know that it's coming out and it's being sold. So I don't think that's going to be a pro game in February. So I don't know. I have no idea what it could possibly be.
Is that already a pro game?
Already a pro game.
Okay.
It's R-E-D a pro game. That was terrible. I looked through the list recently and I couldn't find any potential culprits for the next pro game because we've gotten most of the games that that were on kind of like the low hanging fruit tree for pro titles. I have no idea. And it's really good to not know. I love not knowing things when it comes to Stadia because I love being surprised.
Yeah, I agree with that. I definitely like to be surprised. So maybe Tom Clancy's Breakpoint, like that's free for this weekend for Stadia people. Maybe that goes free or becomes a pro game next month. What about Red Dead Redemption 2? Like that game's been on the platform for an exceedingly long time. I think that if you were going to buy it, you would have already bought it.
I think that it was on Game Pass. It was on Game Pass for a while, and it was removed from Game Pass. It was only there for a couple months.
Oh, okay.
So maybe. I also know that Red Dead, they're looking at splitting out Red Dead Online and releasing it as a free-to-play game. So maybe that will be something that we get as part of Pro is here's early access to what will be free for everybody in the future, but get in early. If anything, I think it would be something like that.
All right. I'm
going to Savage Planet. Journey to the Savage Planet would be a pro game because we know that's coming. We know it's going to be pro. Maybe February would be a good release date for that.
Maybe Cake Bash?
Cake Bash. Was that free already? Was that a pro game already? I can't remember.
I don't know. I don't think it was. I was just looking at the app and I didn't see it. It didn't have the little pro icon next
little pro
to it,
beside so. It. Yeah, maybe. Pac-Man?
Well, Pac-Man already is pro. Though, right?
Is it pro?
Is it? I can't remember.
I think it's a $20 game.
Okay. Pac-Man should just be free. They shouldn't charge anything for it. They should just charge for the costumes. They would make so much more money that way. Oh my God. Sandro George in chat says, I want Smite to be on Stadia. Listen, we don't have a MOBA at all on Stadia. I 100% agree. That game is awesome. I love Smite. It's on every platform. So I don't see any good reason for it not to come to Stadia. And Paladins. Paladins is also I think they use the same engine, the high-res engine. Another great game that should also come to Stadia. They're on Nintendo Switch. They're on PlayStation. They're on Xbox. They're on PC. I agree 100%. Those games need to be on Stadia right now. Ruben DeGeeling sent in a super chat, $13.38. Thank you very much for supporting at that level. And he said, the support feed fine for an awesome job the cat track is doing. Oh, he's
a support fund.
What?
He meant to say support fund for
the cat support
track.
Feed fund. Oh, to feed the cat. All right, so go back to last week's episode to understand why we're talking about the cat track. We love his work. Also, please use some tip to spend on Lloyd's beard maintenance. Looking good there, pal. His beard is getting epically long. When are you going to start braiding it?
I can't. I can put in a little mini ponytail at my chin, but that's about it. So, yeah, it'll take some time. There would be a year of growing to be able to ponytail it up like a Viking would, but I don't think it's gonna last that long. I said till February. I didn't say start or end. It'll depend on how I feel when I wake up in February, if I shave it all off or keep it going.
Yeah, and I'm doing the same thing with my hair. I haven't decided if I'm getting rid of it or not. So Justin Lindholm sent in a super chat. They said, do you think when Stadia comes to LG TVs, will there be a store in the app to buy games through the TV, or will you have to go through the phone/website? That is a great question. Like right now on the Chromecast, you can't buy a game on the Chromecast, right?
I've noticed you can't buy a game on the Chromecast, but I've noticed I was playing, I think it was Hitman, and I went to see, there was a level I couldn't access, and it said, click here to purchase. And I was like, okay. So I clicked it, and a little pop-up popped up in the middle of my screen linked to the credit card that I had linked to Google. So there is a way to do it on Chromecast. I'm sure adding the store would be kind of a no-brainer for them to add in. If you've already punched in your credit card or you've bought Google Play credit and loaded your account, there should be no reason that you can't do that inside of a TV app. I would say it has to be there, because forcing people to go to a phone to buy a game is just an extra level of confusion that people aren't going to want to jump through when they can just go there and say, oh, Guilt, that looks like fun. Here, click buy and play. So I fully expect that the store to be baked into whatever TV app comes out.
Yeah, but at the same time, you have to use a phone with Stadia to set it up in the beginning, like to make your account and everything.
Now, maybe not in the future.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I would like them to get rid of the the use of the phone completely. Not what I mean is, I would like it to be so that you have the option to never ever use a phone if you want. So like you could make an account for your 10-year-old who doesn't have a cell phone without having to sign out and sign in on your phone. Like, that's an important thing. And right now, there's just too many hoops to jump through. And Stadia is all about greasing the skids and removing friction. So that's what I'm hoping to happen there.
Yeah, it's to me, I think it will just be baked in. If it LG TVs, I have an LG TV using the web OS, and it can pull up a web browser when it needs to. So that's built right into it. So I'm sure they could have a lot of that stuff running in a web browser if you need to create a new account or whatever, sign into your Gmail account, get all that stuff, and then link it to the app. I expect that they want to make this TV experience as seamless as possible, because when you start putting roadblocks in, people are just going to remove the app and then go elsewhere. So it's going to be the TV experience is going to be just as good as any other experience when it launches, I believe.
Yeah, we've got a couple of chat questions that I want to hit really, really fast. First off, Eli Levy says, Bill, do you also host a podcast on your own? I do. I have Nintendo Switchcraft and 143 Pixels. And Lloyd, what's your other podcasts?
I do Nintendo Pulse since 2006 over at res.tv/NP, but also it's going to be available on NerdNest when we start doing videos as well. I do Retro Pulse, which has been in hibernation for a long time, and Crossing Animals, which has been on hold for a little while. So, yeah, a lot of podcasts that we do on our own, but also as part of NerdNest.tv.
Yeah, thanks for asking, Eli. And then David Gibson says, does Cyberpunk now have some ray tracing? I noticed some nice reflections that look very much like they were ray traced after the latest update. I'm going to guess no. That was probably like, you can have reflections without ray tracing. It just is way more work for the developers and doesn't work as well. So I'm going to guess no. What do you think, Lloyd? What's your opinion here?
Yeah, I don't think Cyberpunk is using ray tracing as people would, how people use ray tracing these days to mean RTX, so accelerated ray tracing. Ray tracing's been done since early days of first-person shooters, Doom, and other things. They used some form of ray tracing to figure out what lighting is in the different nodes. All that ray tracing does is it draws lines between the character and sources and grabs the light, and light reflects, and it grabs some aspect of the surface that it's on. But the nice thing with ray tracing is when it's done in a world, you can get ray tracing from stuff that's behind you that you don't even see in frame, where normally in current engines, you don't have stuff behind you loaded into memory because that takes way too much stuff. So as you rotate around, it's loading in the level as you're rotating around. Ray tracing reduces the need for that, or allows for a hardware accelerated version of that. So Cyberpunk does have some reflections. Reflections have been in video games for years, not using RTX enabled ray tracing or whatever AMD's version of that is, or whatever. So no, but yes, not using RTX, but it's using probably something that people or developers have been using for decades to simulate lighting and reflections and things like that.
Right. And they all, like, all that stuff is usually hard coded in, whereas ray tracing is, we turn it on and it does it for us, which means that they can do a lot more instead of hard coding everything in. That's a lot more work to hard code everything in. But thank you for the question. William Millard sent in a super chat. They said, get those last votes in for the Nerdy Awards. Today, I didn't mention it on the show today because it was in the live chat so that people would know about it. There is a link in the description down below where you can vote for the Nerdy Awards. I believe it's closing this afternoon for... go ahead.
I think it closes... I think it's closed.
No, is it?
It is closed. Yeah, it's closed. I just loaded... I clicked the link that I pasted in four times, and it looks like it is closed. So I think it ended at 10 a.m. Central or 11 a.m. Eastern.
That means at some point in the near future, Lloyd and I are going to have to talk about the Nerdy Awards, where we're going to discuss the games that you all chose as the best games of 2020 for each platform.
Correct.
All right. I think that does it for StadiaCast for today. So thank you, everybody, for listening to the show, for hanging out with us here live at nerdnest.tv, and for just being awesome people. And if you haven't already, join our Discord community by heading to nerdnest.tv/Discord. And what's happening here? Kodiak Moonwolf says,
I opened it for another half hour.
Vaxxer does not like that. All right. Lloyd, say goodbye.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us for yet another episode. It is wonderful to spend a chunk of my Sunday with you all. So thanks for coming out. Thanks for supporting us. And thanks for listening to StadiaCast.